This time on episode 236 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we discuss Inside Voices, Marvel News Roundup, and your feedback.
I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show's recorded on Sunday, April 8th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast galactic-wide via www.geeks.live. Michelle, happy National Zoo Lovers Day.
I haven't been to a zoo in a while, but I've always had fun when I go.
In the Minnesota Zoo, there was a exhibit for a long time of beluga whales, and I think they're gone now, but I always loved to go see the beluga whales.
I remember that, because I've been.
Yeah, that was in the indoor pavilion, and I believe they had a separate dolphin pavilion as well, so it was fun, but like I said, I think they got rid of the beluga whales, and I think it was considered cruelty to them, but I learned more about beluga whales because they were there than I would have at any other time in my life, because beluga whales are just not that popular.
Poor whales.
Yeah. Well, we hope that we've done our little part here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. to entice you to go to a zoo near you and perhaps learn a little bit about an animal there or beluga whales. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Defenders on Netflix, if they ever bring it back, Legion on FX, possibly The Gifted over on Fox, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of Bad Horse, Bad Horse, Bad Horse, Bad Horse.
If you'd like to talk to us about Bad Horse, you can catch us on our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you would like to tell us about your application to the Evil League of Evil, you can leave us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
If you want to talk to the ladies about the Marvel Evil League of Evil, as described by Phil Coulson, you can catch them on their Facebook page at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can catch us at Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you want to hear us talking about the Evil League of Evil, you can catch us on a YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, you can enable your Amazon device for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skills so you can hear us on your Amazon device.
Ooh. And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network. Both Haley and Lauren are out on separate single solo missions this week, but they should be back next week. And this week just proves a point that in 2018, the four of us will never be on a podcast the same 2 weeks in a row. And with that, let's move on into the main event. Inside Voices was the name of the episode that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had last Friday night. Michelle, what's with that title?
For me, I got two meanings out of it. There was the running joke of Coulson telling Talbot to use his inside voice, and Talbot was like, "This is my inside voice." And Coulson's like, "No, you're softer one." And then there's also, I guess, the inside voices of the guy, you know, he's hearing
Creel,
the gravitonium, talk to him, and only he can hear it in his head.
That's an interesting point, which we will get into later, whether Creel is separate from the gravitonium now or part of it. So stay tuned for that discussion. I will throw in a third existential meaning of inside voices, and that is the inside voices that Yo-Yo, Simmons, and Fitz are hearing in order to make them go off book and off mission with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they're definitely doing their own thing to the point where they had to trick Mac into letting them leave. So I'll throw that third meaning out, but we'll get into the specifics in a little bit. First, we're going to run down the creative team for the episode. It was directed by, and I had to double take when I saw this. I was like, no, that's not that. What? That is totally. It is Sally Richardson Whitfield. She was the actress that played Allison Blake on Sci-Fi's or Skiffy's Eureka program for so many years. And she has transitioned from behind the camera or in front of the camera to behind the camera. And she is directing now. She has 17 total directing credits since 2011. This is her first discussion appearance on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. So welcome to the Marvel Universe, Sally Richardson Whitfield. She has two episodes of Eureka, an episode of The Magicians, and this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as well as quite a few other directing credits. So welcome, welcome, and well done, Sally Richardson Whitfield.
Ah, that's awesome. This episode was written by Mark Leitner, has three credits since 2013, one Spartacus War of the Damned, two Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot, and one Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Inside Voices, and seven production assistant credits.
Yeah, he seems to be following the Wheatons around in their productions and has been part of the production team as it's gone along, but he has written a few. This is not his first. He's written a few others before. And I'll say this is, you know, in retrospect, you know, Michelle and I cover the DC CW-based TV show Arrow, so we watch all the CW stuff. We also watch all the Marvel stuff, or at least as much of it as we can get to. And I'll say these two newbies to the Marvel Universe, I don't know if they had a lot of help with the existing production, executive production staff or showrunners or anything. They did a bang up job. So congratulations to both of you. This was an awesome episode. Talk about how awesome it was. It didn't break any records, but when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was aired, this episode of Inside Voices on Friday, April 6th, it aired to a rating of 2.04, which is up from 1.86 last week. And I think that's saying something when you have a bump of approximately 10% of your numbers from week to week. So congratulations on that. And we're looking for more increases in ratings as spring break comes to a close and we get closer to the end of the season. Now, Michelle, we oftentimes start talking about the episode itself by talking about what your mom thought of the episode, because she's not an inherent geek and she's considered kind of your average viewer. Now, did she watch the episode?
Yes, she did. And she thinks it's better than the last 2 weeks. She was very engaged. It's interesting how she doesn't blame Ruby for being Ruby, because she described it as Ruby being indoctrinated, raised in this environment, and that Ruby was destined to become the person that she is, considering her environment, that there was no way for her to overcome it. And again, my mom was like, wow, I thought their future part was intriguing and intense. And she's like, this episode was even more intense and intriguing. So she really enjoyed the episode.
That's great. That's great to hear. And I definitely think it's the best superhero TV show on at least broadcast TV. Might want to argue with some of the streaming service, Netflix, Hulu, whatever. But if you're talking about between CW, ABC, and any other superhero-like show out there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., this year specifically, is just hitting it out of the park. And I completely agree with your mom in that this part of the season, which I thought would be, we're just wrapping it up, is really intriguing. I'm all in. I'm just all interested in what happens, and that's not saying that I am with any of the other shows on TV. So this is an accomplishment in my point. Now, poor Coulson. So first of all, he knows he's dying. And second of all, he's been kidnapped by Hail Hydra. And that's the pun that is never going to get old, by the way. And now he's not getting any sleep. They took away his cot. They took away his chair. And more importantly, they took away his Captain Crunch. That's just mean.
Yes, I think that's a war crime. You have to have your Captain Crunch.
a breach of the Geneva Convention. It's Article 24 of the Geneva Convention. The prisoner must have access to Captain Crunch.
At all times.
But we also find out, I will say you are totally vindicated, Michelle. Once you started in saying this, I was all in, but I will give all the credit to you. You're like, hey, is the dude in the gravitonium still there? Now, there wasn't just one dude. There's two dudes. I kind of forgot about that. Or maybe we didn't know that until now. But yeah, they're in there. The gravitonium is alive. Michelle, you were right.
Thank you for remembering that. I have been saying this ever since we saw gravitonium again. Because when I watched this episode, I'm like, yes, I am right. I knew it. And it's great being right. But also that the gravitonium is not only alive, it's hungry. And it's going to be interesting if they infuse a living entity that is hungry into a body. It's like, maybe that's what the gravitonium wants, because then it could eat whatever. It's fascinating.
That's an interesting standpoint. Wow, it's hungry and it's eating. Now, I thought it just wanted to combine with other living entities. You're terming it as in, it's like a appetite.
Yeah, because in that flashback with Raina, it's like Raina is like, says, it wants you. So I think it's hungry and wants either certain people or just wants people in general. But it's alive, and to me, I would say it's hungry, because it almost ate Creel. And he was like, get me out of here, get me out of here.
Okay, I could see that being a viewpoint. I'm not going to say it wrong. I took it a different way. I took it in that it was absorbing these entities as becoming more like the Borg. You know, resistance is futile, become part of the collective. That's what I was thinking of in terms, but you might be right. So I'm not going to say you're wrong, because you were right about gravitonium to begin with.
I think it's a similar viewpoint. It's just you're seeing it as more conscious, as selective. Is that it? You think it's more selective in its choice of meal?
Yeah, I guess meal is just the wrong way in my mind to think about it, because it's absorbing people with like mindsets that are anti-shield. And I think because both Quinn and Dr. Franklin were kind of against the SHIELD way of doing things because they were screwing up along the way. It's the same thing that Coulson's been discussing both with Talbot now and with Hale, is that SHIELD has its faults, but they're not totally over the edge, which is interesting to note because of what's going on with the Invincible 3 this week. And we'll get to that in a second, but yeah, that's what I was thinking of in terms of it was more of an anti-shield mindset than a, I'm hungry, I need to eat more.
Okay, that's an interesting take.
Yeah, so we'll see. Neither of us know for sure, so we'll see what happens in the future. What we do know is that Yo-Yo's got some cool, and I don't know if they're like prosthetics or if it's like wraps or if it's CGI, but Yo-Yo's got some cool new arms. And yes, in the show that they're actually, you know, robotics based, but they're actually her arms. I mean, she's not been de-armed in real life. So I thought that was cool. It was cool graphics, or it was just a cool way to show it. And I'm all in for however they pulled that off.
Yeah, it's very impressive. They just seem really like a part of her. And when she's training, yeah, however they're doing that, it really looks like those arms are definitely a part of her.
Yeah, like they're really her arms. It's just got a thin metallic covering on them or something like that. And the entendre that I am not going to lose in all this is Mac wanted to check the arms out because Mac wanted to give Yo-Yo some of his oil.
Yeah, well, he wanted to give her oil then, but after what she does, I don't know if he's going to want to oil her up anytime soon.
I think you're right. And we keep on alluding to that, but we'll get to that in a second. Deke and Fitz have a nice little grand grandpa-grandson conversation through the glass. And I thought that was interesting. It was interesting to me because Deke's like, hey, grandpa, you pulled a move that made me respect you. I mean, it was totally not normal for anybody else. But hey, in this place, in this lighthouse, you got to do what you got to do to survive. So that was an interesting conversation between those two.
Yeah, because we learned Deke calls him Bobo.
Bobo.
and Bobo's like, I don't recognize anything in my grandson. But you're right. That mindset of, we had this huge problem. And yes, what I did to Daisy was awful, but we had a bigger problem. And Deke's like, yeah, I had to capture Daisy and have her slave put in slavery because she would have caused a bigger problem.
So more importantly for the podcast, and I know Lauren's not here to defend her favorite science babies, her dearest science babies, but we have a new name. They're not Fitzsimmons anymore. Oh, no. They're Nana and Bobo. So they will forevermore be called on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., at least by me, as Nana and Bobo.
I'm down with that.
All right. We'll wait for Lauren to get back next week and defend the Fitzsimmons name title. I've been alluding to it so long, we need to get to it. The Invincible Three. And we're talking about Simmons, Yo-Yo, and Fitz. And they all think, and I think a little bit erroneously in Simmons' standpoint, but they all think that they're going to make it to the lighthouse when the event occurs. And they're assuming, everybody's assuming, that the baby hasn't been made between Fitz and Simmons. And we saw Simmons throw up a couple of episodes ago, which in our opinion was akin to morning sickness. So even though we've seen Fitz in the future, we have not seen Simmons. We did have Deke say he remembers them in the lighthouse. So I think it's safe to say that all three of them make it into the lighthouse, but that might not necessarily be the case. So just keep that in the back of your mind. But in any event, they call themselves the Invincible Three because they think that they can do no wrong because they end up in the future. And that's a dangerous mindset to have.
It is. And something Simmons says is like, yes, if none of us come back, we would have broken the time loop. And Fitz is still saying we can't break it. And it's going to be very interesting if they can break it, which I hope they do, because otherwise, why spend half the season in the future if they're not going to be able to change it? And it's going to be interesting how they change it. Does somebody else have to die? Well, we think Coulson has to die. I think we've been talking about that Coulson does need to die. But it's going to be interesting. Is it also going to be Yo-Yo dying? Or I don't want Nana or Bobo to die, because then we'll get rid of Deke. And Deke has grown on me a little bit.
I think he's grown on everybody. I actually enjoy having Deke around because he's just the wacky, you know, he's in 80, 90 years in the future. He has no idea what is currently going on other than the fact that he's got some framework references that he can throw back to because he's actually studied what the Earth was like as much as he could get a hold of. It's just funny watching him go through this. And even this episode, I forget what was said, but he's like, I don't understand that reference. That's a stupid thing to say or something like that. And it's just funny watching him try to operate and live in this environment. And he's not only that comic relief, but he is an effective operative because he's learned how to survive. So he's a survivor. And those are traits that will come in handy for the team, I think. And so, yeah, I'm glad to have him around. And I don't necessarily think there's a great relationship between Deke and Daisy Johnson, but there could be in the future. And I would be okay with that at this point. But at the same time, I'm okay with them not having a relationship, too. So either way, I'm fine with it.
We have the Yo-Yo Mac relationship, and I think that's really all the romantic drama, because Fitzsimmons have gotten married, and so that's sort of like a happy ending, even though Fitz is kind of a supervillain.
Oh, no. No. He is a true supervillain in mindset. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think we need another relationship thing going on.
I would agree, and they've backpedaled quite a bit on the Mae Coulson relationship thing. I think that will come into play again in the future, but it's not a pervasive thing. Like, May's not like, oh, Coulson, even when Daisy's like, I have to go rescue Coulson and then he can have his job back. Even when that is occurring, May is very cautious about how to proceed in the future. And she's trying to mentor Daisy a little bit, and it's just not coming through, I think. And Daisy just doesn't get it that Phil and May wants him to live too, but everybody's saying, even Ruby is now saying, or not Ruby, even Robin is saying Coulson has to die. So yeah. And effectively we did get another Coulson death. So maybe that's it. Maybe he can live now.
I love Talbot's line of, you've died more than anybody else I've known.
That was funny because he's dead for a second. So what happened, and I wish Lauren was here to describe it, but what happened is he took a punch directly to the heart. And if you take a punch to the heart at just the right time, it can stop your heart. That shock can stop your heart from beating. And that is what happened. And his heart is a weakened muscle to begin with because it's basically dead tissue. So I could see this all happening. It is realistic. And I'm glad they went this way. And also, he got the cool Creel save his life through the flying monkey. I'm forever going to call these robot men, the mech men or whatever, the flying monkeys, because that's what they termed it in the show at one point in time. Hale's flying monkeys. I'm going to say flying monkey robots. So Creel saved Coulson by using the flying monkey robot. I just thought that was cool. And it was cool the way that they actually medically did something correct in that Coulson could have died because of a shock to the heart.
Yeah, that was cool. And being just becoming like a defibrillator and just boop.
And Talbot had all the lines, especially he wanted to make like an Atomic Blonde joke or something like that with Ruby. And Coulson's like, just don't do it. Don't do it. And he could not lower his voice. First of all, he's meticulously grooming his mustache, right? That's the one thing he's doing in his cell is they gave him scissors. I no idea why they gave him scissors and they thought that was okay, but they gave him scissors and he's grooming his mustache. So Talbot and his mustache are in captivity and he cannot lower his impulse control is gone. He cannot lower his voice. I thought that is so Talbot. I'm so glad that he's playing the character this way because it's basically true to where the character is right now.
It's so fun seeing him back. I know he's also on Supergirl, but I'm really happy that they've been able to time his appearances on Supergirl so he could come back and be Talbot.
Right now, is it all shot in the same area? Is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. shot in Vancouver?
No, I think it's in L.A.
Wow, so he's doing some plane reps back and forth.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to move on and talk about... Let's talk about Robin. So Robin's not speaking to her mom and hasn't for a few weeks. And it's because like one of the last things that she drew and the last thing that she drew, I think had to do with her death in the future. Right. And it's really weird. I don't know why, like if you're from the future, like May and Daisy are, they're not telling Robin, they're not telling Polly, which is Robin's mom. They're not telling them what they've seen in the future. And I don't know if that's fair to them or not, because they know what that drawing actually means. So what do you think? Is that fair for them not to tell them what's going to happen in the future?
So I figured out that Robin was probably only going to talk to May. And when she sees May, she says, mommy, right in front of her actual mom. And later on, Robin's mom actually does say to Daisy, or no, says to May that she doesn't see herself in any of the pictures. So I think her mom already knows that she probably dies before anything big happens. And that's sort of, that's intense.
That is. And you don't know how much longer you have. It's like in real life, you don't have know how much is there, but it's really confronting you because you know it actually happens. You know, you don't survive to a certain point. And she's dealing with it relatively well, I would think Polly is, in my opinion. And then to see who gets to take care of Robin in the future with May, I guess I'd be okay with that and wanting to move on. And May just wants nothing to do with it. And May desperately, I mean, her whole dream in the framework was to have a kid, right? So I don't know. It's very odd. It's touching and yet odd because I want Polly to make it. I want the future timeline to change. And yet you want May to be happy in the end. And I don't know if she's truly happy with Robin or not. So I don't know. You've The show has effectively confused me on that point. I don't know what to think.
She's happy that she gets to take care of Robin because she understands Robin. She's not afraid of Robin. So it's not like she doesn't want to take care of Robin. It's that whole, I don't want to see Robin's actual mom die. You know, I'm sure May is like, if it was my choice, I would rather have, you know, her actual mom take care of her. But I love her. And if bad things happen, then I will definitely take care of her.
Yeah, so that's a dynamic that's going to be ongoing because Polly and Robin are staying in the lighthouse now. And we know in the future that they have to leave because they're on their way back. But right now they're in the lighthouse. And in the meantime, we know who's not in the lighthouse. And that is the Invincible Three, because they have effectively duped Mac into leaving. You know, Simmons, she has become a top agent, be able to act that whole thing out. That was pretty cool. And then afterwards, if you don't remember what we were talking about, Simmons basically does a magic trick. She puts four glasses in front of her, and then Yo-Yo puts some of her oil, which is highly acidic and corrosive, into one of the four glasses. And you see this being done live. You actually see some oil being transferred from her arm into one of the glasses, and then she mixes all the glasses up while Simmons is looking the other way. So there is no trick going on between the two. This is truly a testament. And what Simmons is trying to prove here is A, that she is invincible, because she's going to drink three of the glasses and she's going to prove that she can make it to the future scientifically. And B, they're using it as a ruse to get Mac out. And then later on, C, she says, that could have gone completely wrong. I didn't know for sure. And everybody's like, oh, on that. But when she went down, Michelle, did you think that she was acting or that she legitimately got it wrong?
Oh, I knew she was acting, but I think it was great that they didn't tell Fitz. So you actually got a genuine reaction from Fitz, which is what they needed, because if they didn't get that type of reaction, then Mac wouldn't have felt panicked enough to let Fitz out, which then allowed Yo-Yo to push Mac into the cell and lock it behind him. And I thought it was great. Like, Fitz actually was going to run and get what was needed in order to help Gemma. And then all of a sudden, like, Gemma's like standing up and everything. And Fitz is like, you know, a little heads up would have been nice, because, you know, I don't want to see my wife die.
Nope. Yeah, that would have been nice not to have seen that. But on the other hand, he was, I guess they just don't have the same faith in Fitz to be able to act. Ian DeCastaker probably just is not as good on set as the Simmons is, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that was kind of fun. And then Mac gets locked in. He's like, let me out. And the whole heartbreaking thing between Mac and Yo-Yo, because this is a rift between the two that I don't think is going to be solved. And Mac was earlier honestly saying, you know, Yo-Yo, you don't know if you make it in the future because I keep you safe, because I die keeping you safe. You don't know that. And she comes back with, you can't keep me safe forever. Okay, I get that. But don't take on any unnecessary risks. I guess that's what makes these people different than us, is because they do take unnecessary risks in order to get the job done. And that's a fine line.
Yeah, it's questionable with what they're doing. Because, see, again, it's time travel. So are they taking the information that they learned from their time in the future and they're acting on it in a different way? This is the card we don't know how is going to get played, is how the time travel is going to impact this present line and if they're actually going to be able to change future events.
I think they do ultimately change future events, especially if they're talking about a season 6, which I've heard now. There's two different reports. There was a report that said, from the showrunners, that basically said the end of the season is not necessarily a series ending episode. Okay. And then there was a report that said there was a rumor that said they were being considered to be renewed. And if that is the case, of course, the Earth can't die. Unless, the only thing I could see is that they go back in time to the Captain Marvel beginnings, the 90s. I could see that, but that would be a difficult show to pull off. because not only are you talking about superheroes, but you're talking about time travel back in the 90s. I think that would be a little difficult. So I don't know. I think that they make it through just based on that. And because, well, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has to continue, and they've kind of boxed themselves in a little bit with the whole hashtag It's All Connected quite a few years ago, and with all the crossovers they had, even with Nick Fury. So I think that it's a no-brainer that the future gets changed, but I just don't know how. And I don't know what their losses are going to be along the way. And that's what concerns me, the losses.
That's true. But I mean, we know Clark Gregg is going to be in the Captain Marvel movie. And killing him off of S.H.I.E.L.D. will give him an opportunity to film all of that and be part of that. You know, if they do happen to get renewed, I would be fine with Coulson dead, actually dead, like true dead, not comic book dead, but true dead. And then next season being the, having Daisy in the lead with her own team. I can see the show going in that direction.
Yeah, and bring in something like a Director Hill or Nick Fury every once in a while, something like that. That would be good. Maybe that's a stretch to wish for something like that, but I could see that. And then also, with the Coulson being dead thing, I liken it a lot to Stargate SG-1, where after 8 years, Richard Dean Anderson said, you know, I have enough of this. It was a good run. I think I need to leave the show. I think we're at that point with Clark Gregg. However, Clark Gregg, it's a little bit different though, because it's only been 5 years versus eight. And actually, I think it was longer, because I think there was some pauses in between seasons with SG-1 as the show was transitioning from Showtime over to Sci-Fi. In any event, I wish that the character would be around longer, but with all organizations like this, I could see it needing to move on. And you're right. I didn't think about that. If Clark Gregg needs extra time to go back and film Captain Marvel, that's the thing that they've been saying, why they don't bring more of these characters over into the MCUs, because of scheduling conflicts between the two. So yeah, I think we're headed for it. Definitely. And it's comic books, so you could bring them back to life. They did so once before already, but I'm at the point where I'm okay to let them go. I've said that before. And all right, I had to talk myself through that again. What haven't we talked about? We haven't talked about the fact that Ruby is positioning herself, even again, to be the destroyer of worlds, in that she kills Crusher Creel. And again, it's comic book, so they don't have any idea if he can come back or not, but I think he's dead.
He turned himself into wood. I don't actually think he's dead. I think he was able to turn himself into wood and protect himself and
so absorb the hit, so to speak.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't catch that. Wood. All right. Well, okay then.
Yeah, I think he's still alive. It's going to be interesting if she actually gets with Von Strucker and they actually try to take over things. And
oh, she is totally manipulating him. Totally. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I can't believe you're not going to be able to figure this out. And I really want to figure it out. And he's like, look, my dad didn't keep meticulous notes all in one place. And I need to figure this out. So let me think. Oh, here's some food. I got to think. I really need to get you to the point where you can merge with the gravitonium. I'm like, really? I don't think that he's thinking correctly. I mean, he might be a great scientific mind, but he's not thinking correctly about his motivations here, in my opinion.
He's also a character living in the past and the present at the same time, because he remembers everything. So he is living in the present, but then at the same time, he has to remember every single thing that he has heard and read and record. And I think when you're in that type of situation, you're not clearly thinking about consequences of certain things.
Yeah, that could be. I forgot that he was remembering absolutely everything, which then begs the question, if you remember everything, if you took one course in German, then you can speak German and he wouldn't need those books translated. It's a whole Matrix thing, right? It's a Matrix. When you don't have a skill, you say, okay, load me up, but it takes time to load you up. So it still would take time for him to do the course in German.
I think it's because he read them and he's able to replicate the writing. He just saw them and read them, but he was never able to understand them because they were in German.
Oh, so he replicated him. them. I didn't understand that. I thought they had received them from some...
Yeah. He's remembering things that he read. And he's like, I remember this from this journal, and I remember this from this journal. You have to understand, my father put all these different things in all these different journals, and I've read them. And here I can rewrite them, but I don't understand them because I'm just a big recording device, and all I can do is dictate things that I've read.
Interesting. All right. Michelle with the interesting theory again. Now, Coulson and Talbot do transport themselves out of the facility, wherever that facility is. They end up somewhere on Earth. And I thought that was a neat escape plot because you don't know where that hideout really is. So you think it might be in the mountains that are behind them, but literally it could be anywhere on Earth. And so they end up outside somewhere. Robin has already drawn a picture. She's already made a picture of where they are. So the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. team is on their way. We see in the preview next week that Daisy actually gets there and has a little moment with Ruby. So looking forward to that one. But I thought it was an interesting escape device because we now know that the transporter doesn't just go to the Confederacy across the galaxy. It also can transport you locally on Earth. So kudos to Coulson either for figuring that out or just lucking out.
Yeah, he said, I think if we don't do the altitude, we can actually stay on Earth.
Well, there you go. A few things to remember. Aliens are still on their way. So we don't know when they're going to arrive, but we're running out of episodes. So I would think soon, maybe at the end of next episode. Coulson does die. We've been talking about that for a while. I think that's where this is going to go. And yeah. So Michelle, what do you want to say that we haven't talked about already?
I'm wondering if Coulson telling Ruby that it's not her that became Destroyer of Worlds, that he's like, it goes to Daisy. I'm wondering if that's something that could alter the future. Because if they didn't go to the future, right? Like she never would have known that. And she wouldn't have an extra motivation. Because I know I'm trying to find ways that the timeline could be changed. And perhaps Ruby wanting so much to be the Destroyer of Worlds and wanting to overtake the project and possibly kill her mom.
That's interesting because we don't know what iteration of the loop that we're on. We've talked about this before. We could be on loop 2 million. We could be on loop 2. We just don't know. And so what is going to be that key thing that changes us from getting outside of this loop structure into something else? If it's loop 2 million, what has changed? And Fitz had that weird thing that he said in the future about no matter what happens, Gemma dies. So that was kind of an interesting quote, which sticks in my mind. It's the only thing that leads me to believe they've done this multiple times and that Fitz remembers the multiple times, or at least has some record of it. And it's just, it's weird. And I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, I'm going to assume that we make it into a different future. As I said that before, I'm going to assume that, but what changes? That's going to be the interesting point. Absolutely agree. All right. I think it's time to rate the episode. We're going to rate them in terms of how many Robin's drawings out of 10 you would give this episode. So 10 would be good. So if you have 10 Robin's drawings, not only will you be able to win the lottery in the future, but you'll be able to avert catastrophic changes in the Earth. And one would be you're kind of screwed because you have no idea of the future. So where would you rate this on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would put this at a 9. We had a lot of action. We had a lot of character growth. Seeing Simmons take charge was kind of sexy because she kind of got a little evil. It was intense. A lot of stuff happened. A 9.
Okay, a 9. I'm just going to back down a little bit. I'm going to go 8. It was a really good episode, but I don't know. Maybe on a rewatch, I'll go up to 9, but this is something that's nagging, and I don't know necessarily what it is that just doesn't get me to that 9, and it doesn't, and I don't know. Maybe it's the loss of a broader strategic view of what's going on, like with the Avengers. We didn't get any mention of the aliens, But we did get, and I could tell why you did 9, because we find out that a gravitonium is alive. But yeah, I'll go an 8, and I won't begrudge you your 9, but I can't get there, so I'll go an 8, which is still really good. So I think Sally Richardson Whitfield and Mark Leitner did an excellent job with this, and I would love to see them back. If this show did get another season, I would love to see this pair back again to do another episode.
Agreed.
So next week, we're going to talk about the 105th Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, which is the 17th episode of the 5th season, called The Honeymoon. So we finally get Simmons and Fitz to go out there and have their honeymoon in the real world with their chauffeur, Yo-Yo. And we will record that next Sunday on April 15th, 2018. That's tax day here in the United States. In the meantime, Michelle, if people are out there and they're looking for more additional geeky content, where would you send them?
Well, we would send them to GunnaGeek.com, where we have over 20 different types of podcasts. Some of them are general geekiness, and some of them focus on shows like this one, and of course, the Starling Tribune. One of our podcasts is the official Gunna Geek Show. And on GunnaGeek.com show 233, titled Gunna Talk About Drones, well, in this episode, the crew discusses how there may be an iPhone X collar variant coming soon and how there was a flat earther that launched themselves in a rocket. Plus, SP shares all of his recent drone experience highlights and lowlights. Hint, it involves power lines and an emergency button press. So check out GunnaGeek.com show 233.
All right, definitely check out that Gunna Geek episode number 233. And if you have any questions about drones, hit me up on Twitter at Stargate Pioneer. In the meantime, we're going to move on into some feedback. It's that type of day, folks. We're not doing feedback. We're going to do news first. A little tease, I guess, switch and bait, but we will get there eventually. Michelle, what do you have for our first news story of the week?
Poor Stanley.
Oh my gosh. I read this. I was like, are you kidding me?
So someone stole Stanley's blood and signing his name on several Black Panther comic books. That is just kind of weird and odd. Who would do such a thing? And I just feel for this man. Ever since his wife passed away, it's as just though all these vultures have come in and they're just picking this poor man apart. No one, whether you're Stan Lee or just a regular person, no one deserves the treatment that he's been going through.
Right. So basically what happened is, we covered this last October, a former business associate presented Lee's nurse with fake documentation that authorized some blood to be drawn. So that was drawn with the intention, as we now see, to use it to sign some comics in his DNA. Now, I don't think he was the actual person that signed it. If he was, and you made him sign something in his own blood, you are way, way sadistic. But it says it's hand-stamped signature, so I don't think he actually did it using his blood, because then you get his DNA. So I don't know what crack brain thought this was a good idea. I mean, if Stan Lee wanted to do this, if it was legitimately something that I want somebody to have a comic with my DNA in it, and I think they could sign it in my blood, okay, I guess it's still weird, but this is criminal, and this is just... I hope that whoever did this is held fully accountable for the false acquisition of an individual's DNA, blood, whatever you want to call it. So if Lauren was here, I'm sure she would get into the privacy matters of everything. But this is horrific, and I don't want this to happen to anybody, especially Stan Lee.
Yeah, that is such a shame. Well, we have some Infinity War news. Thanos demands your silence. The Russo brothers wrote this letter, and they're urging everybody to please don't spoil the movie. One of the things with the internet, everybody wants to share, but please, especially in the first 2 weeks, just sort of say, hey, Avengers Infinity War is awesome. You should go see it. There's an end credits sequence. There's 10 because it's Marvel or something. Just give you a nice, good impression. But please, just don't go around spoiling it for everybody. Give everybody at least a couple of weeks to go see the movie. It's going to be very popular. Some people might not have opening day tickets. So it would be really nice if everybody would just hold off for a bit.
Yeah, it's kind of neat because basically they're saying instead of Marvel snipers, they're going to have Thanos come and get you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't want Thanos to come get me.
No, not at all. And we will completely abide by that here on Agents of, or Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And even if we do record an episode on the Avengers Infinity War within that 2 weeks, I probably won't be able to get it out until after the 2 weeks. So just a little production lag there. So I think we'll be safe here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I can see other entities not being as kind. And really, I don't think it's like the major, it's not going to be like Den of Geek or TV Think or anything like that. I think it's going to be individual tweets that come out and like your friends, if you see their posts on Facebook or Instagram, or you see their tweets on Twitter and you're like, oh, I haven't seen the movie yet, you know, that sort of thing. I could see that being an issue, but I don't see any major publication company running into this because they're going to put spoilers, you know, they're going to put it out there, but it's all going to be like, this is a spoiler filled review or something. So, you know, not to click on it, but anyway, good luck for those that are trying to stay spoiler free for 2 weeks, and we will abide by it on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And we're going to end on something very funny. So Chadwick Boseman hosted SNL this week, and one of the bits was Black Jeopardy, and he actually was T'Challa. And this, it's really funny. Like, for example, one of the things was like, this is why you have your grandmother's name on your cable bill. And T'Challa rings in because you want to honor her as the head of the family. And that's not actually the correct answer. The correct answer is because, hey, I don't need that on my credit. And then it ends with T'Challa finally understanding the game, where it's the white people category. And he goes through, it's like, let me guess, this Karen woman is Caucasian. And Kenan Thompson is like the host. And he's like, yes. And it goes, works through that the potato salad is probably bland and not seasoned properly or has something weird like raisins in it. And it finally gets like the right answer. It's very funny. Watch it. You won't be disappointed.
Chadwick Boseman is an awesome actor. And just a great individual, so I can't wait to see it. I have not seen it yet, but look forward to it. All right, that's it for the news this week. We're going to move on into the feedback, this time for real. Michelle, since Lauren's out, you have all the feedback for this week, so what do you got?
Yes, so Lauren tweeted out Nana Simmons and Bobo Fitz because, again, we're going to Nana and Bobo. It's going to be wonderful. And Chicky at Bobo Mareel said, and when Fitz gets a little evil, Darth Bobo. That is very cute.
Nana and Darth Bobo. I'm all in.
And then Mr. Paracletes tweeted us, no, 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 stop it, Sony. I hope it's only a rumor. He's a good actor, but I don't think I can see him play Carnage. Better off with an unknown actor. And this is in response to the rumor that Woody Harrelson could be playing Carnage in Venom. And I happen to agree with Mr. Paracletes. Woody Allen is a good actor, but no.
It's Woody Harrelson, not Woody Allen.
Oh, Woody Harrelson. I'm yeah. Sorry.
He is a good actor. I don't particularly care for his style, but he is a good actor. I will concede to that. And yeah, no, I don't want him playing Carnage. Now, I don't want him not to have any roles because, like I said, he's a good actor. I just don't want him playing good roles in my films, or at least films that I like. But yeah, you know, I'll suffer through it. The whole Mockingbird series, he's pretty good in. I mean, a little bit off kilter, but that's the character that he plays. And a little crazy, a lot competent. So there you go. What else we got?
Well, Christy, you know, at Adonna Girl, actually live tweets as well and said, here is some for you, director, and to Clark Gregg. And it's a little gif of Captain Crunch eating Captain Crunch. And Clark Gregg liked her tweet. So congratulations, Adonna Girl, for getting that. That is very clever. And it's always great when someone from the cast noticed something like that. It's very fun.
Yep. Captain Crunch. Got to give our man the Captain Crunch. So that's all the feedback we have for this week. Thank you very much to everybody that sent feedback in. We definitely appreciate it, especially during the live tweets, which Lauren or Michelle take, depending on who's available, who's not available. They're both very competent at it. So with that in mind, we are going to get set and use one of my drones to autopilot via Fitz's programming this one out. Thank you, everybody, for watching, for commenting on YouTube, for sending us tweets. Thank you very much for all of your interaction. We really appreciate it, because without you, we wouldn't be doing these podcasts. And thank you to everybody that has enabled the Amazon skill, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. So all you have to do is tell your device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill, and then tell us about how you're using it, because this is in beta and we would really love some feedback as part of the process.
Yes, thank you to everyone who downloads and listens. Thank you to everyone who interacts with us during the live tweets. And we really appreciate it. It's part of the fun of live tweeting, the interaction with everyone. And we just really appreciate you listening to us and all that jazz.
All that jazz. Got some biodigital jazz going. A little Tron Legacy there. Until next week, I'm Director SP.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Oh God, this is so weird.
The new setup.
Yeah. And also, I can hear myself and you at the same time now.
Ah, yeah.
So that's new.
I remember when I switched over to that, it was a little bit unnerving, but I just got used to it over time. And now when I can't hear myself, I'm like, what the dude? What? Something's wrong. Sometimes it's because I'm mobile and I don't have all the cables, and sometimes it's something is wrong. But like when I'm recording every once in a while, and this has been a long time ago because I haven't done an episode in a while, but I'll do Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. long box and I'll record it straight into Audacity versus using the H6. And I won't even have earphones on. Or even if I do, I might not have the H6 on, which these are monitoring directly from. And I won't hear myself. I'm like, I have no idea if I'm screwing up or not in terms of the audio. So, yeah.
Autopilot.
Good enough. Especially since I've used autopilot on my drones lately.
Oh my God. I went to Best Buy yesterday and they actually have a drone section now.
Yeah, I've heard that you can go to Best Buy and buy drones. I haven't seen it in my Best Buy, and I've been to my Best Buy a few times the last few weeks because it's right next to Lowe's, and I was going to Lowe's a lot for the whole bathroom thing. So I stopped by there to get a couple of movies that had just come out, like Jumanji. Okay, I hadn't seen it yet. Still haven't, but I got it so I could redeem the digital code and something else. But I didn't see a sign saying drone. Is there a sign that says drones?
In mine, yes.
Okay. I'll have to go back and look. Because I know they sell the DJI Mavic stuff, but I don't know if they sell the cheaper stuff.
Can you hear it?
Can I hear what?
The train?
Nope. Not at all.
So that's an improvement, right?
That is a definite improvement.
Because usually you could hear it.
Oh yeah. Like, I would intentionally not throw it to you when I heard the train. And there's sometimes where you were talking and the train was there and there's nothing we could do about it. So yeah, you're good. That, wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah, because boy, this one's flying.
Nope, nothing. If there's like a whistle, maybe I might be able to hear that because it's a higher one. But yeah, I don't think so.
Yay!
Broadcast has been successfully terminated by the Atomic Blonde.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.